things, but it's not, they just talk about, when you read some of the stuff around the actual area, that it's not just a hope that they can get food, it's an eternal hope, it's a hope in Jesus, and a willingness to share that hope with others. So we're just going to sing again now, we're going to sing Jesus, Hope of the Nations, and just remember that actually it's Jesus that's our hope, not just what we do each day. Anybody got any thoughts on actually what is affecting them, what's causing their issues, and on what their problems are? Just shout out if you got any thoughts. Climate change, global warming, climate change. Anything else?
Deforestation.
That's actually really, really important. In a minute, we could talk to that in a minute. Sorry. Some pollution. Yeah. Okay, you think it's a dam? Okay, right. Any?
Population growth, demanding water.
Yeah, population growth, demanding water. So, yeah.
I also
could well be, yeah, people going through on the way to Mexico to get to America, or being sent the other way. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so basically, their water, crop failure, deforestation, pollution. From what I understand is that there's quite a lot of land has been taken, the forests have been taken down, palm oil for palm oil production. And then what happens is there's no trees there to absorb all the water. And the runoff from the palm oil goes down into the river, takes with it all the nitrates and the pollution from where they're feeding, trying to grow the palm oil, gets into the river. They also pinch a lot of water to try and keep the palm oil growing, so they take the water further upstream, so by the time it gets further down, there's not so much of it. Plus climate change as well. But climate change is going to be worse because of the deforestation. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation. So the one thing that Christian Aid has helped them to do is to learn different techniques. So change their crops very slightly, or farm in a slightly different way to try and minimise the crop failure, maximise production, and to actually help them live a little bit more sustainably. You saw a little bit there. So I'm just going to ask... anyone want to come and try my water? Okay, you want to come and try it, Christy? Okay, would you like this one? No. Which one would you like? Like the bottle of water? Do you prefer the bottle of water or the tap water? Which one do you think? Tap water. Try it and see if it tastes all right, and if you can taste any taste in it apart from water. It is just plain water, straight out the tap. Taste normal water? Does it smell like normal water? Okay. I don't know if it probably can't smell that good. Can you smell that? I don't know how good your nose is, but if you smell that, and I don't know if you can smell that one or not, without me squirting it in your nose, there's a slight chloriney taste to that, isn't there? I don't know if you sometimes in the taps around here you get a little chloriney taste, because chlorine, you can either take it and go and sit down with it if you want to, or you can have that. You don't want to try this one? Okay. Are you sure? So, as you can guess, that is not really water out of my water butt. But some of the water they're having to get out is like that, and they have to filter it. So you can either you filter it through a cloth to get all the big bits out, like the leaves and the insects and things. And then, if you've ever been extreme camping, or in the army or whatever, you get water purification tablets, don't you? And you drop them into the water, but you have to wait half an hour until you can drink it. And that's why our water tastes a little bit, or smells a bit chloriney, because the water purification tablets have got chlorine in. So Christian Aid is helping with water aid as well, to try and get cleaner water for them and better water. Thank you. It was just sort of an illustration to make you think... I know what's gone into it. But if that was normal river water, I would not be drinking that, I can assure you. I definitely wouldn't be drinking that. But how far would we go for water? Now, Edwige isn't here today, and I don't know if anyone else here has had to traipse miles for water. My only experience is when we were camping, as children, being the one with my sister to have to go and get the water from several fields across, and that was hard enough. But Edwige, if you talk to her, when she was young, she used to have to go get the water from the well or the river and carry it on her head miles and miles and miles. Now, we are so privileged. We can turn on the tap. We don't have to spend an hour each way, each day. So 2 hours of your day just to go and get water to survive for that day. So it's a real issue for them, the lack of water and the... So, this is changing tax likely, and this is a big guess, so you can have a quick chat in your groups. I want you to know how many times you think water is mentioned in the NIV version of the Bible. Thank goodness for computers, because I can work this out. And how many times you think water is the top, no cheating, no phones out. How many times do you think there are themes or topics or stories about water? So the first one is how many times you think it's mentioned. If you've ever watched Richard Osman's game, House of Games, you'll know this is a game of average. And then the other one is how many topics do you think there are in the Bible? Have a quick chat and then see if you can mentioned in the Bible. You said? You said 1,000 to start with, didn't you? 1,000? How many do you say on here? Ooh, okay. Thousand?
A lot.
250? Sorry?
We ended up with 700.
Ooh. Woohoo. And the prize, if I had one, would go to Hayden. 617 times it's mentioned in the NIV. Well done. So how many stories or topics do you think there are in the Bible about water? So you said 100. How many did you say?
Stories.
439 stories? 175?
Between
50 and 100. That's very vague, isn't it? That's a bit vague, that one. 250? You said 20. There's the same number of stories about water in the Bible as there are books in the Bible. So if you know how many books in the Bible, there's 66 books in the Bible, and there's 66 stories or big references to the Bible. Now, just because I like making people work, back at your paper, have a quick scribble down and think of any stories in the Bible you can think of that concern water. Okay? Anything at all. The Bible is littered from the beginning, the creation, the moment that God said he parted the waters, Noah, the Red Sea, baptism in the River Jordan, Naaman going and bathing in the river to get rid of all the leprosy. You've got, well, water to wine. Who put water to wine on there? Oh, well done. I'm glad you've all put that, because that's one of the stories that we're just going to talk about in a moment. So the two that I referenced down here was one when the Israelites were thirsty when they were travelling through the desert. They came across the water. They were really thirsty, and the water was bitter. And so God said to Moses, take that stick and throw it into the water, and it changed the water from bitter to drinkable. And then the other one we're thinking about is water turned into wine. Excuse me a minute. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the living water. Not just any old water, living water, which we're going to explore a little bit more in a minute. So first of all, we're going to sing... Water, you turned into wine. So if you'd like to stand up and join us in song, singing Water Shall I Flow. But this Bible passage has really been on my mind this week. Several things struck me. One is the issues between the Samaritans and the Jews were very, very deep. You think about Palestine and Gaza and Israel and things, they were deep like that. And it goes back, way, way back to when the kingdom was divided. So you had Israel on the lower, the south, and Judah in the north. And strangely, Judah then becomes the Israel we know. But at that point, you had Judah and Israel. And Israel, which had Samaria in it, and the Samaritans married non-Jews. They also had slightly cultural differences. They were in dispute about where to worship God. On the mountain in Samaria, and the Jews said, no, it should be Jerusalem. And there were other little cultural differences as well that got bigger and bigger and made a bigger problem as they got along in time. Jesus refers to this in passing, but he then goes on to promise a future hope. And he offers the woman living water. Now that seems really odd to us, but to the Jews and the Israelites, it meant a lot more. I came across this Bible reference in Jeremiah, where he's challenging the remnants of the Jews from Judah to turn to the living water. This is before they were exiled to Babylon. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they've forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. And there are other references back there where God is called the spring of living water. And Jesus in that Bible passage said, can't see if looking at it, but he talks about himself being the spring of living water, not just living water, but actually the source of it, basis of it. And Phil's insisting on playing that today. So Jesus is making more than just a statement saying living water. He's saying, I am God. He's not just saying he's a solution to our thirst for God, but he's saying, I am God. Now, it takes a Samaritan woman quite a little while to get to the fact that Jesus isn't talking about normal water. But eventually she gets it. And you can almost see a light bulb moment go, this could be the Messiah. But the realisation that the Messiah visited Samaritans, not just Jews, must have been so amazing and so thrilling for her after years of being the lesser, that Jesus actually wanted to spend time with them. Must have been astounding. And the next bit, I think, is quite exciting. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged Jesus to stay for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And then they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you told us. We have heard for ourselves, and we now know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. The Messiah had truly come. They begged him to stay for 2 days, not just an overnight rest, which was quite unheard of for a Jew and a Samaritan. I wonder what the disciples thought of all this. It says that they didn't say anything. So they must have been thinking in their minds, she's a Samaritan, we're Jews, we're not supposed to mix. But the Samaritan woman now had a deep, deep hope that she couldn't wait to share with others. And that same hope that Aurelia and Amelia in our video have. Not just a hope that their lives will get better, but a future hope in an eternal God, strength from the Holy Spirit, and support from other Christians. Amelia, the younger woman that was up there, said, "For the future, I don't know what to expect. And the only one who can tell is God." Just going to pray and then leave a little time for anyone that wants to be able to pray out loud, either about Guatemala, about Christian Aid, or about our world. Whatever you feel led by God to pray. If you want to just pray quietly in your hearts, that's absolutely fine too. But just bring before God what we've heard this morning and what's on our hearts. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that your word is a living word. It still speaks to us all these years later, as it spoke to the woman at the well. And thank you, Lord, as it speaks to the ladies in Guatemala and through Christian Aid. And just pray, Lord, that you will help us to recognise you in all that we do. Amen. We just say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amelia, or showing us the way. Their abounding hope for a better future for their communities drive them to learn to seek new solutions to the challenges. Will we follow in their footsteps and turn our hope into action for change? Now, I don't want to just go away with saying this is what we're to do. I want us to think about how we could change what we do. So, I suspect some eyes are going to light up in a moment. Because I have here chocolate. Phil is jumping up and down because I pinched his Snickers out the cupboard yesterday. And he said, "Oh, I was going to have a Snickers." What I would like you to do, if you want to have a piece of chocolate, then please do. If you don't, then that's fine. Just tell me whether you think this chocolate is fair trade or not fair trade. Okay? Take a piece of chocolate. Would you like a little bit as well? Take a little piece. Mum, you want some? Oh, there's another little bit on there.
Thank you.
Have a taste and see if you think it's fair trade or not fair trade. Oops.
Sorry. Some of it, don't worry.
Thank you that we can make a little difference. Show us the way that we can be your hands, your feet, and your voice. For people who don't have the same advantages we have, who don't have clean water, who don't have suntan lotion they can stick on when it gets too hot, or alternative means of food. Father, help us to be aware about what is going on in our world. And Father, I just pray for Guatemala, that Lord, you will stop the deforestation and you enable the rivers to flow again and give these people hope. A hope in you and a deep hope for eternity. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And when I was looking at songs for what to do today, I was just trying to find ones that actually speak the truth of what we've been talking about today. So we're going to finish our service this morning with God of the Poor. I know it's got a different title, but I can't remember what it is.